Well, it is so good to be back home, see so many familiar faces. And I saw Miss Cash this morning. You know, it's good to see nursery workers that changed your diaper, you know, when you were just a few year old. I don't know how you take that. Good to see you, you know. But anyway, it's so good to be back home. I take this as a great responsibility to stand behind this pulpit. And the man down here introduced me to Jesus over and over from this pulpit. And so I don't take that lightly and covet your prayers. If you'll take your Bible and turn, please, to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. And I don't know about you, but often, like Pastor Jody was saying this morning, God has to check our motives. And so important that we do what we do for the right reason. The why of what we do things is very important. And if the why is not right, it really doesn't matter what we're doing because it's dirty. And so I love how the Holy Spirit often, as you're reading His Word, will just hone in on your motives and at the core. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to do that this evening. And with, if you'll take your Bible, in Psalm 79, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision for them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy namesake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoners come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And I call your attention to verse 9, and there's a phrase here that we'll look at this evening. It says, Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. For the glory of thy name. As I was reading through there and came across that phrase right there, it stuck out to me. The glory of the name of God. That is the motive. That is the motive for everything we do, is the name of God. And so with God's help, I'd like to preach on this text, for the glory of thy name. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day you've given to us. We thank you so much for family. I thank you for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, for the people of this church, and Lord, for their faithful walk with you and love for you, and Lord, how it's so evident still to see. And so, Lord, I just pray that, God, that you would use me to be a blessing in some way tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray for you to fill me. I pray for you to be the preacher tonight, to use me as your vessel. And that, Lord, that when it's all said and done, your word would go forth and that it would work in lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross in our place for our sins. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. In Psalm 79, we read a psalm written by the man Asaph. Asaph was considered by Spurgeon as a patriotic poet. Spurgeon said of Asaph that he was never more at home than when he rehearsed the history of his nation. This psalm is considered a complaint, such as something the prophet Jeremiah would have written looking on the ruins of Jerusalem after it had been invaded by the Chaldeans. It is a psalm of a broken-hearted prophet and a broken-hearted remnant of God's people. As we read through, you'll see just the heart of the man writing. He's looking on a broken city. He's looking on a broken-down temple. As if you read in verse 1, and it says, O God, the heathen are come into thy inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. The Bible says that they have laid Jerusalem on heaps. So if you would take your imagination with me and try to picture in your mind what this man's looking on as he's looking on Jerusalem, you're looking at a broken down city. you're looking at their love, their place that they love so much, Jerusalem, and it's trashed. In verse 2, the Bible says, the dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven. They've killed these Jewish people and they've left them in the streets. There's not even enough people to bury the dead. That's what he's looking on. And as he goes through, and you'll see in verses 1 through 4, a complaint is poured out. In verses 5 through 12, a prayer is presented. And in verse 13, a praise is promised. And we see a man that is broken. He's broken over his city. And it comes to a head in verse 9 when he says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. And I'd like us to look at three things about this cry. Three things about this prayer for the glory of the name of God. The first thing is, it is a purified cry. A purified cry. This is a prayer of a man that's had his prayers purified. I think it's time for many of us that our prayers are purified. I mean that they're brought to where they're supposed to be. Maybe there's something you've been praying about for a long time and you seem to see no answer, no response from God, no answer from heaven. And maybe the reason why is we have not thought about the name of God. You see, the most important thing is the glory of God. God doesn't exist to fulfill my life. I live to bring glory to his name. That's it. That's all. And my life and everything that I do is to bring glory to him, not just coming to church. It's 24/7, 365, living in such a way, in obedience to his commands, living full of the love of Jesus Christ and sharing that with people in this world and letting people know of Christ, that we ought to bring glory to God on a constant, everyday basis. And that is the goal. And so here's a man that's had his motives purified. Have we arrived there yet? I want you to see, this is the only true motive. This is the only perfectly pure motive for living. Every other motive leads to sin one way or another. So it's very important that we get this right at the start. That every day we get this right. Why should we desire sinners to come to the Savior? Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see someone walk the aisle and they come and receive Christ as their Savior? And you think about what's happened there. A father comes forward. A father's won to Christ out on visitation. And now Christ has entered that home. Sometimes I think, though, we make a bigger deal of the sinner than we do the Savior. What's so great about a person coming to Christ? It's the Savior that saves them. It's not about me. It's about what Christ did for me. It's about what Christ did to reach down and save my hell-bound soul. And for the glory of his name is the importance. Why should we come to church? Why do we come to church? It's to be for the glory of his name. Why should we desire that the gospel go out and missions continue and the gospel get out to those who have never heard? For the glory of the name of God. It's the only pure motive, the only true motive. And so I ask God to speak to our hearts and show us. The question is, am I more concerned with how people think about me or how they think about my God? That is the question. Why do we raise our children? What are we raising our children for? They're such a blessing. I'm so glad, so thankful for what God has given my wife and I. Titus is 3, Lily is 18 months, and they are a blessing, and they are a challenge. And Titus is sitting like a good boy right now. We'll see how long that goes. I better not call him out too much because that'll change quickly. But what are we raising our children for? So that they'll be good little boys and girls? So that they'll get a good job someday? So that they'll get a home or they'll have a wife or a husband, they'll have children. And is there not something bigger than that? Yes, there is. There's something far greater than that, and it's the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. That's the motive. That's the motive in everything, in all that we do. It was a purified cry. We need our prayers purified, honed down to what they should be. Are we concerned about God's name? When you go to work, this next week, whenever you start back going to work, maybe you've already been back, many of you, but when you go to work, is God's name, the glory of his name, are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about making God a name at your workplace? God's name is we're to be glorifying. And so number one, it's a purified cry. Number two, it's a powerful cry. I say there's probably no greater prayer, more powerful prayer that we can pray for any situation in our lives than for the glory of the name of God. All God does is ultimately for his glory. Ultimately for the glory of his name. All God, when we pray for the outcome to bring glory to God's name, we pray according to His will. That's very important. I would like just a few verses. Psalm 25, verse 11, the Bible says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Psalm 31, verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Psalm 109, verse 21, "But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me." Psalm 143, verse 11, "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Jeremiah 14, 21, "Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us." Psalm 106, verse 8, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." 1 John 2, 12, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. We're going to look at a familiar story here in Numbers chapter 14. And this is one you've grown up hearing. I want us to see this very principle here in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. 10 spies went to spy on Canaan, or 12 spies went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? We know the song. And we love that one. And here they come back, and we know 10 of them gave an evil report. What was evil about it? It was faithless. It was faithless. They had no concern for what God might do in bringing God's people into his promised land. And there were two, Joshua and Caleb, that gave a faithful report. And we see the outcome. The people are troubled this night. They're troubled, and they have rebelled against God now. And God says, "I'm going to destroy them." And look in verse 10. The Bible says, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones," Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. "And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians will hear it. For thou broughtest up this people into thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, and that then the nations which have heard of fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto thy greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." What did Moses pray this night? When the going got tough, what did Moses pray? He said, God, your name is at stake. Your name is on the line here, Lord. We need you to break through. We need you to do something, God, because your name is at stake. Your name will be tarnished, will be taken through the mud. God, move. God, act. God, deliver this people. And God changes his mind, if we can understand that, because the prayer of one man that prayed that for the name of God would be glorified. That's the most powerful prayer we could pray in any situation. We must truly desire it so we may truly pray it. I think sometimes our prayers, my prayers, are selfish prayers. I want what I want in this situation. God, do this because this is what I think would be best for me. Aren't you glad that God knows more than us? Aren't you so glad that God has an infinite mind and He sees what we cannot see? He sees beyond what we can see, and He can lead us in the way that He knows best. And so the best thing would be for me to just get in line. The best thing would be for me to just grab His hand and let Him lead me and just pray, God, you be glorified in this situation. God, you get yourself a name in this right here, whatever it may be. and watch God work. It's a powerful cry. It's a purified cry. Maybe the reason that our prayers go unanswered is that we have very little concern for how God's name is affected by the outcome. Number three, it's a passionate cry. It's a passionate cry. Turn back to Psalm 79 with me. Two times in this one verse, the Bible says, he prays, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." It's a passionate cry. Here we hear a man that is passionate about this one thing. He's passionate about the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God being glorified. And so I ask myself the question, am I passionate about that? What are we passionate about? I mean, what do we get the most excited about? What do we get the what drives us on a day-to-day basis? Is it the glory of his name? Every other goal than for the glory of thy name is a cheap substitute. Philippians 1:20, the Bible says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified." Christ made great in my body, whether it be by life or by death. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." I want you, if you'll back up with me into verse 9, I want look at this. "Help us, O God of our salvation." What a title for the name of God, the God of our salvation. I was thinking about that today, just going back over this and thinking about these things. The God of our salvation. Think about what we have in our God. Think about, we ought to go back and we ought to remember how God saved us, what he did to reach down and save our soul. You understand, the only thing good about any of us is Jesus Christ. The only thing. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ working through us. And so we need to magnify him in everything we do and say. 2 Samuel 7, 22-29 says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation is the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people for himself, and to make him a name, and do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning this his house, establish it forever. And do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." What a great God we have. What a big God. And how good he has been to us. And to serve him and to live, to do anything other than for the main motive, for the main purpose of, for the glory of his name, to make him a name, to lift up his name. That's the motive. That's the reason we do what we do. And so I pray and ask myself, God, what is my motive? Why am I doing this? Why am I going about serving you? Isn't it so easy to do something and you think, why did I do that? Now, why did I say that? And at the core of it, it's a motive issue. And here Asaph writes, he says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name." Now look how the tune turns here. And when you go up to verse 8, it's dread, it's dreary. There's bad things have happened. But look starting in verse 10. Look what the Bible says. "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen." Look at verse 11. "Let the sighing of the prisoners come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." I wonder if because we have left off thinking of the glory of his name, we've gotten an attitude where we are just so used to it, we're no longer thankful for what we have. Are you thankful for what you have here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Are you thankful for what you have, being able to hear the Word of God opened up and given to you every week, taught to you so faithfully? I've sat right here in these pews as a young person. I sat right here and listened to a man preach right here, and I remember many services being in another world. So I know. And I think about being there. I think about that time. I think about going through those teenage years. And you know what, young people? There's something far bigger than you that you can live for, the name of Jesus Christ. You have parents. You have a pastor. You have a youth pastor that they are trying to get that in you with everything they possibly can. Everything they can possibly can to help you to see that beyond you, there's something far greater. There's something far bigger than high school to live for. There's something far bigger than college. There's something far bigger than a job or a car to live for. And it's the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. That's a life. That's not a week. That's not an event. That's not a thing that you put on one day a week. That's a life that you give yourself to. Jesus Christ, think about our Savior. Think about Him lifted up on that cross. Think about Him suffering, bleeding, and dying for our sins. See Him put in a tomb. It seems like it's all over. It's done. The third day He came forth out of the grave. Why? For our justification. Because He lives, we live. Think about what we have in Christ. And for us to live for anything else, for us to live for anything else besides the glory of the name of God is a cheap substitute. And so I ask God that by the Holy Spirit to search our motives, to get down deep inside of Devin Smith and just open up the books. Man, it gets cluttered very quickly, very quickly. And may God show us what is our desire, what is our real desire. And it is our desire to make much of the name of Jesus, to live for the glory of the name of God. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, we will pray, and I'll turn it over to Brother Jody, Pastor Jody. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for, Lord Jesus, for what You've done for us. Thank You for saving us, for dying on the cross for our sins. But Lord, I pray that You would take Your Word, that You would do with it like only You can. Lord God, I pray that You would, God, You said Your Word would not return void. And so we trust that promise. And Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would just stand to your feet. And as the piano begins to play, if God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jody. But if you do business right here at this altar, I just ask God to search our motives, why we do what we do. If the why is not right, what we do can't be right either. And so I ask God, You pray for me, and I'll pray for you.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. It's amazing how the Lord puts messages together. Adding and the two messages from this morning and this evening just fit right hand in hand. What this young man's preached about tonight is the answer to life. It's the answer to your marriage. It's the answer to raising your children. It's the answer to your ministry. It's the answer to life. That our motive is not us, our motive is God. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says. I believe the Lord is speaking to you. What an appropriate message to go into the new year. And everything we do, Buffalo Ridge, may it be to lift up the name of Jesus. May it be to lift up the name of God. I think it'd be appropriate for many of you, maybe. The Lord is speaking to you. Maybe some husbands grab your wife by the hand. Some fathers grab your family by the hand. Say, let's go pray together. And let's ask God to give us the faith to lift Him up in every area of life. Or maybe you're going through a trouble, a trial tonight. The Lord's speaking to your heart, saying, listen, even if I don't remove that, are you going to praise me for it? You're going to lift my name up in it, whatever it is. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you come? Come now. Would you do it as he sings? Come now, please.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily.
I'd like to ask many of you ladies, maybe even some of you men, to come and let's surround Miss Brenda here and Leroy. Let's pray for them, that the Lord will touch them. The Lord will help them. Now, you get news that you have stage 4 cancer, that's not good news, friends. But we know the Lord is dealing. The Lord is working. May the Lord help them. God touch them. Playing through. They're playing through. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he is. You don't have to come forward for the Lord to do business with you, friends. You can do business with God right there at your seat. Why don't you ask the Lord to help your motive to be right? You think the Lord may have been in these messages together, friends? This morning was more of what not to do. Tonight is what to do, if you understand. Very appropriate, and I appreciate the Lord putting us together like this. May God touch them. May the Lord help them. Amen. If you're still standing, you can look this way. It's good to have a church family, isn't it? People to hold up, lift your name up to the Lord when you're going through trials, tribulations, all of these things. The Lord is good. He really does not make mistakes. It's hard for us to understand that at times. Devil tries to get you to question that at times. But friends, we serve a God who is perfect. He is always right. No matter what it is, God is always right. And he's always good. And it's always for his glory. It's hard for us to understand that sometimes, but it really, aren't you glad it's that way, friends? I mean, what would happen? Now, he got done early, and I didn't get to preach tonight, so what would happen if we couldn't trust God? What would happen if God said, oh, I didn't see that coming? No, I'm glad my God's a whole lot bigger than that. Praise the Lord for it. This is Mr. and Mrs. Daryl Nelson, Daryl and Karen, if you'll stand there just a moment. They are coming back to be with us. They feel like the Lord wants them to join this church. And by a letter from the New Harvest Baptist Church in Johnson City. And we're so privileged that you feel this way. And we know the Lord leads people to join, not to sit, but to do something for him. And we're so happy that you're here. I mean that. God bless you. Have you happy for them coming here? Would you say a big amen? What's the pleasure of the church that we receive them by letter from the New Harvest Baptist? Brother Trent, Brother Willie, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. If you folks will stay right there, I hope many of you will come and shake their hands and welcome them back here with us. I'm going to ask Brother Devin if you'll take your wife and your children and go out to the lobby. I know our folks will want to greet you. And I'm going to have Brother Graham, if you wouldn't mind, to come up here. And Brother Graham's getting ready to start heading back to Brazil. It's always good to see Brother Graham. And I'm going to have him dismiss us in a word of prayer. God bless you, sir.
Some of you may or may not have heard this morning, Bob Jones, one of the missionaries we supported for many years from this church, passed away last night, singing praises to the Lord as he went to heaven. We thank you, Lord, tonight that your glory is uppermost in your mind, and that all that you do will someday, though we don't always see it, will redound to your glory, and the efforts of man cannot withstand your divine plan. And we pray that tonight you would help us to be a part of this great plan. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this young couple and their ministry for you and the lives of other young people there in Georgia. Help them, Lord, to minister by your power and for your glory. Help us this week to live the same way. Bless Renee as she travels. We pray for Brother Jones's family, his daughter there in Brazil with her husband starting a church in the interior of Brazil. Help us, Lord, to raise up new leaders and missionaries to go around the world to preach the gospel for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.